that every day is just so wonderful. You come to Christ, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, my word, this is so good. But you know what? Not every day is like that, is it? For those of you that are visiting with us, you may not know. You think that they are cheering for the singers, but it's for me coming up to preach is what that's about. So, yeah. Yeah. Now that I did not expect. So, yeah. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. The title of the message is Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's word. And the Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it came, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christmas message. And the things that we emphasize in December is because of the birth of our Savior. And it cannot be overstated the importance of your birth, the way you came into the world, the way you left the world, all the miraculous things that you accomplished in your life, your perfect, sinless life, and the list goes on and on. And we celebrate those truths this morning. And for those of us that know you as our personal Savior, the joy and the difference you've made in our life cannot be compared to anything that the world has to offer. Help us to celebrate those truths this morning, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. I love that. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Say that with me. Joy is the serious business of heaven. I know this won't be popular, but we will have to admit, to experience joy, you have to have known sorrow. The height of joy can only come from the pits of sorrow. One needs the other to be fully appreciated. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Consider with me the thoughts of joy that you and I have had at the thought and presence of sorrow and death of a loved one. Yet the joy, the elation that will take place when we see them again in heaven, and only in Christ can you celebrate at a graveside. Only in Christ can you laugh in a cemetery. Now, the world will fake it. They'll medicate it. They'll do what they can to copy it. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, you've not known life, and you've not known joy that Christ offers. Satan is a great imitator. He will mimic things. But only until you've known Christ and experienced his presence in your life have you truly experienced the joy that only God can offer. Number one, no sorrow, no joy. In Genesis, when sin came into the world, sorrow came with it. Death, sickness, temptation, all of the drawbacks of our old, the spiritual term, the Christian term is Adamic nature. In other words, we get our sin nature from Adam. Wherefore, is by one man sin into the world. That man was Adam. Guys, ladies, you get your sin nature from your fathers. It comes through the male gene. I hate it, but it's true. If my child is a sinner, it's not his mother's fault, it's my fault. Now, I think she picks up a lot, my kids pick up a lot of bad habits from their mother, but that their true sin nature from birth comes from me. It happened way back in the garden when Adam sinned and cursed creation, and you and I have experienced the sin, sorrow, death, cancer, disease, everything bad in life connected to sin came from that original time, and mankind has been trying to fix it ever since through science, through drugs, through all of these things. But now let me tell you something. You won't beat death until God Almighty beats death for you. It's here, it happens, and it's because of sin. No sorrow, no joy. Mary was told of great sorrow in our text this morning, verse 35, talking about the birth of Jesus. And at the dedication of that child, at his circumcision, when they brought him back to the temple, and they're celebrating the joy of Simeon being promised, he's an old man now, and through the Holy Spirit, he had been promised that you're not going to die until you've seen the Savior, Jesus Christ, will come. You will hold him before you die. And in that process, he prophesied to Mary, the mother, a sword is going to pierce your soul through the life and death of this child. And you and I have never experienced seeing our children tortured to death, but we've experienced the sorrow that can come from a wayward child or some decisions that have been made from a loved ones. I can remember years ago, and I've referenced this over the years, there was a family friend that they were so hard for them to have children, and they tried and tried and tried and tried, and finally, his wife got pregnant and they had children. And when the dad held that baby in his arms in the hospital when he was delivered, the mom, the wife, testified how he just held that boy and cried and cried. He's just so overjoyed with the blessing of a son. And only for that son to grow up and break his father's heart. You know, it happens, doesn't it? There's sorrow in life. Obviously, the sorrow that went along with the birth of Christ was Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. Many families lost their child of 2 years old and younger for reasons they had no understanding of. But Herod was trying to wipe out the Christ child. Innocent people lost their children because of the birth of Christ. Horrible. No sorrow, no joy. Not only that, there is no battle, no victory. If you've never been to fight, you don't know the joy of winning. Now, the fact is, if you've not been in a fight, and sometimes you've experienced the sorrow of losing. No battle, no victory. Satan is the ultimate bully. He will not just stand by and watch you and I enjoy life. He wants you to be a victim, and he's coming after you. And there are battles to be fought. One of the things that we miss as Christians is we're singing this morning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And the celebration, the worship that goes on in this room is wonderful. And absolutely love it. I've referenced this many times. It's great to be in God's house and worship together. We love that. And we almost give the opinion that we are on holiday as Christians, that every day is just so wonderful. You come to Christ, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, my word, this is so good. But you know what? Not every day is like that, is it? Satan wants to make victims of you, and there's a battle going on, and there's a war to be fought, and we're told to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because there is a battle, and do not forget that, because the second you put your guard down, The enemy will get you. No battle, no victory. A beachhead is a strong position on a beach from which an army that has just landed prepares to go forward and attack. It is the area that a military force landing on an enemy shore attempts to control first before further advancing. Probably the most famous beachhead would be the Normandy invasion during World War II, the Allied invasion of Western Europe, which was launched on June 6, 1944, the most celebrated D-Day of the war, with the simultaneous landing of U.S., British, and Canadian forces on the five separate beachheads in Normandy, France. Listen to these numbers on this beachhead: 129,400 soldiers, 3,000 landing craft, 20,000 land vehicles, and 13,000 aircraft. By the end of June that month, there was 858,000 soldiers and 150,000 land vehicles that had been put on the shores invading Europe. All this to push back the evil Nazis that had overtaken Europe and trying to overtake the world. On December 25th is celebrated another invasion. A beachhead was established in Bethlehem that would confront evil that has been invading God's creation since the Garden of Eden. On D-Day, the enemies of freedom were not conquered for another 14 months. But for the birth of Christ, the enemy won't be conquered for another 33 years. While sin is still prevalent and the enemy is still at large, Satan was defeated at the Battle of Calvary. Now, through the power of God Himself, we can experience the kingdom here on earth, even if total victory has not yet taken place. Isaac Watts wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." He was referring to the birth of Christ, not to the birth of Christ, but to the millennial kingdom that Jesus Christ would set up when he comes back. Folks, the millennial kingdom hasn't happened yet, but it will. Before the millennial kingdom takes place, the church will be raptured out. You and I will be taken. There'll be 7 years of all chaos on the world. The first 3.5, bad. The next 3.5, horrible, like the world has never seen. And it is in that reference after that that joy to the world, the Lord has come, is referencing that millennial reign. But you and I love it as a Christian song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. You know, there's going to come a time when thorns won't grow anymore. God's going to reverse the curse. When I think of reverse the curse, I think of the Red Sox and losing. But there's a much greater curse than baseball. It's called sin. And the curse on the world that you and I live in, though we've experienced wonderful things, is going to come a time when the struggles that you and I have in the millennial reign of Christ will just be a distant memory. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace. That's going to come. And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. No sorrow, no joy, no battle, no victory. But get this, no presence, no present. If there's no presence of Jesus Christ, there is no present to present that he has to offer. I'd like to say to you this morning that he offers four gifts. Gift number one, when you meet Jesus Christ, you experience serenity. What I mean by that is, you ever have any regrets? Regret is something that cannot be avoided. Regret is when we lived selfishly and we did something stupidly, if we will, and once it's been done, we can't take it back. Regret is what David had when he slept with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51, he says, "My sin is ever before me." Really, what he could have said is, "My regret is ever before me." We can't erase our regrets because it's important we remember those things so we don't repeat them. Now, God doesn't need to remember them. He says that our sins are forgiven. Well, I'll remember them no more. He doesn't have to worry about repeating some bad thing. God's not capable of anything bad. But for you and I, you know what's really frustrating? Something I've done wrong in the past, is a good chance I'll do it again. Why? It's interesting to me when they bring someone in, the police have nabbed the guy, and they bring him in, and they've caught him red-handed, and he's trying to defend his actions and deny it. He will come right out and say, "Why would I do something like that? I didn't do that. There's no way I could have done that. That doesn't even make sense." You're right about all of that, but you did it. That's regret. I got good news. Jesus Christ is the cure for regret. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us." Now, that doesn't remove the memory, but I know that I've been forgiven, number one. And number two, someday, God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death, sorrow, or crying, for the former things will be passed away. I believe the time will come when I won't have to worry about repeating my past sins, and that regret and that memory will be erased from my mind. And I can't wait for that. The day will come when God will take Stan Griffin's brain and scrub it. And erase all of those regrets that everybody has. But God forgives sin and he provides serenity. Number two, he has serenity. He gives us security. And I can't overemphasize this enough. Do you ever get in trouble? There ever a time when you think, "How am I going to get out of this? Who can I lie to? How can I handle this?" I don't know why it was. Maybe it was the way I was raised. Maybe you were as a man, and I've referenced this many times, but as a man, you'd like to think whatever situation comes along, I can handle it. When you're younger, you size up the opposition. You think, "Can I take them?" And if I can't take them, one of the things you'd say is, you feel like you could beat anybody, but it was a matter of whether you needed an equalizer or not. For instance, if a guy's a lot bigger than you are, is there a chair that you can break over his head? You know, you're looking for something. Do I have a baseball bat nearby? Am I armed? You know, you just want to make sure that if trouble comes, how am I going to handle it? Another thing I used to think of is if I can't take them, if I can't beat them, do I have a friend that can? And that was the thing, that big guy, the one with all brawn and no brains, the one you could just say sick him to and they would take care of it. That's the guy you want. Well, Jesus is not all brawn and no brains, but there's no situation that he can't handle. He's got this. And we can walk into any type of crisis and know that we are accompanied in Jesus Christ by someone that is strong enough and wise enough and has the ability to handle any situation that you find yourself in. Desperation does not need to take place in Christ. He is there with you to supply your security. Honestly, how great is that? Over and over and over and over, the Bible says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." Why is that? Because I can handle it? No. You don't need to be afraid because God is with you and he is your absolute helper in a time of need. He will make a way. Say that with me. He will make a way. Serenity, security, satisfaction is something that he offers. Contentment. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs." Now listen, he didn't say he'd supply all your wants. Americans are very good at wanting, as if we didn't already have everything. But he did promise to supply your needs, but there's a caveat on there, and we don't have time to go into it. You got to put him first. not yourself first in your needs. You put him first. And he will make sure that you have what you need when the time comes, even if you say, one of the things that they're so good at in America is saying, what happens if you lose your job? You're one paycheck away from losing your health insurance. Remember all those conversations they had back in the day? All of those things, they want you to live in fear, live in fear, live in fear, and make sure that you're voting the right way or doing the right thing so that that bad things won't happen to you. Let's just stop for a second. Let me tell you, bad things will happen to you this side of eternity. It's coming. Boy, isn't that exciting. Oh, man, preacher, I'm so glad I came to church today. Well, wherever it is, if not today, tomorrow, next year, bad things will happen to you. Deal with it. Life's not fair. And no one can assure that it won't. What we can do, though, is number one, know that God gives peace in the storm. We know that he gives us strength for the situation, and he promised to provide every need that you will have if you put him first. Now, let me tell you something. GE can't offer you that. IBM can't offer you that. Whatever great corporation you want to say, Prudential Life Insurance can't offer you. There is nobody that can promise you that you will be okay other than God himself. And he does promise that. And he does provide that. So everything coming your way, I promise you, there will be joy at the end of it. Honestly, how great is that? So I've got serenity, I've got security, I've got satisfaction. And lastly, and I think this is a great game changer, and you would think I probably should have started with this first, but I've got salvation. I've got eternal life. And I don't get it when I die. I get it when I trust Christ as my personal Savior. If you've trusted Christ, you've asked him to come into your heart. He has given you eternal life. You possess it while you're sitting here. You already have it. I don't have to wait for my eternal life to kick in when I breathe my last breath here. I'm living forever right now. How great is that? Eternal life. In the past, he has saved me from my past sins and those regrets that I'm forgiven for. In the present, he gives me power over sin. You know what? Satan can't make you sin. Don't you come to me and say, Stan, I did this, but the devil made me do it. No, buddy, don't you do that. You walk right into it with your eyes wide open. You made that choice. Look in the mirror. You got nobody to blame but yourself. But on the other hand, God gives you the power to overcome those things. You do not, sin has no power over you. Don't forget that. I've been saved my past sins. I have the power right now to overcome sin through the power of Christ. And lastly, in the future, I will be saved from the presence of sin. You know, you and I, now we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but our time is gone. But you and I have no idea the effect that the cancer of sin is having on our everyday life. It is. There's going to be something awesome about a sinless environment. I don't care. I know heaven is going to be incredible, the walls of jasper and the streets of gold and all of those things. But let me tell you something. I think heaven would be fantastic if it was all dirt roads with no sin. There's something incredible about that environment that you and I will be in. No sorrow, no joy, no battle, no victory, no presence, no present. So let me ask you this morning, do you have the presence of Christ in your life? The great 19th century American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow endured dark days prior to 1863. His first wife died during a miscarriage. His second wife died in an accidental fire. His oldest son joined the Union Army to fight in the Civil War without Longfellow's blessing. But on Christmas Day in 1863, the poet composed the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. A poem eventually turned into a popular Christmas song. He said, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. You're familiar with it. They're old familiar as carols play. But what he was struggling with, the darkness he experienced in the Civil War caused him to despair that there would be no peace on earth, no goodwill towards men. But the Christmas bells he heard lift his spirits, causing him to conclude the poem this way. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I'm telling you, the greatest present you can have at Christmas time is the presence of Jesus Christ in your life.